For decades, the mafia had New York City in a stranglehold, with law enforcement seemingly powerless to intervene.
It uses terror to extort people.
But the murder of Carmine Galante marked the beginning of the end.
It sent the message that we can prosecute these people.
Listen to Law & Order Criminal Justice System on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.
In 1982, Atari players had one game on their minds, Sword Quest. Because the company had promised $150,000 in prizes to four finalists, but the prizes disappeared, leading to one of the biggest controversies in 80s pop culture. I'm Jamie Loftus. Join me this spring for The Legend of Sword Quest. We'll follow the quest for lost treasure across four decades. Listen to The Legend of Sword Quest on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's hump day, and we have a huge show for you tonight. We are going to discuss the lies, why they tell the lies, how they do that so easily. A Venezuelan prison gang has taken over a city in Colorado. Disney continues to circle the drain. Apparently, somebody's allowed to own a machine gun now, which is freaking awesome. Europe is gone, apparently. We'll talk about that being crappy. Noisy neighbors, emails, all that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And Ryan Gerdusky is going to join us about, half hour from now. He's got some things to break down. Selena Zito is going to be interviewing J.D. Vance. She's going to join us. What a show tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Also, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, so I won't be here Friday. I will be here Monday for Labor Day, so we'll be doing a show. I'll be here, but Friday I can't. So tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. I got a bunch of emails in response to a Marine that I knew, Marine Corps brother of mine. I got word during the show last night that he had taken his life. And I got a bunch of emails. Thank you for all those. They were lovely. But I got some from vets like this one. And I know we have news stories and political stuff. I don't give a crap. I'm setting that aside for a minute. Let's talk about this once again. Jesse, I listen to your program every night. I find myself swirling further down the toilet every day. I was in Afghanistan 2013, 2014, 1st Cav, 2nd Brigade. That's friggin' sweet, by the way. I just had my second and third child, twins. I have an MBA.
I make six-plus-figure salary, yet I am miserable. I fought knowing I was doing it to advance myself and my future family. When does the peace come? If you have everything you ever wanted and went through hell to get it, when does the peace come? I just want to be able to enjoy the fruits of my labor. I'm sure you understand, brother. I don't talk to anyone about any problems. Me and my family have always internalized and remained strong and stoic in everything we have done, led by example. Do you think it's low T? Haha, maybe I need some chalk. Okay. When does the peace come? I know this is going to sound bonkers to some. It'll make a lot of sense to others. But it comes at different times for different people. And having gone through this exact thing before that you're going through right now, you know, no peace, no nothing. I got out of the Corps. I had a good job. Life was good. Had my own place. I had a pickup truck I loved. Life was good. And there was no peace. There was no peace. There was no peace. It comes at different times for different people. It depends on so many things. But I want you to understand it will come. It will come. And you are 10 years removed. You were in Afghanistan 2013, 2014. Look, there are Nam guys. There are Vietnam guys who email this show. And they still hurt. They hurt from things they saw. They hurt from things they went through. I will tell you this, though. Internalizing everything, like this guy said he's doing, and maybe you're doing it. I'm just going to swallow it. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to talk to anybody. It's the worst thing you can do. I know, because that's exactly what I did. There was no peace because I was internalizing everything. I was sitting in my apartment in the dark with the blinds shut in the middle of my living room, drinking myself into a stupor every single night. And there was no peace because I wasn't talking to anybody. It wasn't until I started discussing it. Maybe you have army buddies you can discuss it with. There are a ton of outstanding private veteran charities you can dig into. I do want to caution you on this. Every single guy listening and lady who might be going through this, I'm not talking down to you. I'm certainly not judging you. But I will tell you, alcohol made everything worse for me. It feels better at the moment. It feels better in the moment. But in the end, for a variety of reasons, it brings you down. You feel worse physically the next day. Remember, alcohol, I'm really not trying to act like I'm some kind of saint here or a nun. I'm just telling you, I've been through it. Alcohol will cause chemical depression in you, especially when you abuse it. I don't know whether you're abusing it or something like that, but if you are reaching for a bottle of anything, pills, booze, weed, whatever it may be, you are actually, you're prolonging how long you won't feel peace. I'm not saying you can never have another beer again or something like that. I'm not. If you're deep into that, though, you've got to get that fixed. Almost universally, the friends of mine who have taken their lives almost universally had substance problems. And I understand why those come, because I had the same thing. It did the same thing. I get all that. That is something that a veterans group will also work with you on. Find one of the ones and talk to someone. It doesn't mean you have to go away to a camp, leave your wife and kids. You got a new baby. It doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean you have to do anything. Talk to somebody. The peace will come. Comes for at different times for many people, but the peace will come. The hurt always going to be there, but the peace is going to come. I promise it'll come. Keep moving forward. You got little babies, right? You got little babies. It tore me up last night when I got home. We're going to move on, talk some politics. But it tore me up last night. You know, I wasn't doing great during the show. You could probably hear my mood changed a little bit when I got that text. But I was okay by the time I got home. But I got home and I saw my sons, and that gutted me. It gutted me because my friend, who's gone now, he left his kids. Right? He left his kids, and I just couldn't, as soon as I saw my boys, I couldn't imagine leaving them on purpose. Those kids need you. For no other reason, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and those kids need you. And you brought up chalk. Look, I don't want to do a chalk pitch on you here, but you really, everyone listening, especially men, you really do need to get your testosterone levels checked, gentlemen. I don't just say that as part of the ad. Low T is something that is plaguing this country for a variety of reasons. It is plaguing this country. And when your T levels get low, you will get depressed. It, almost inexplicably sometimes. It affects your mood so much. So do something about it. I, like I've said a million times, I prefer natural solutions. I don't want needles in my arm or anything else. Go get your levels checked. Get your, and yeah, hey, get a male vitality stack from Chalk. Dude, I've been on one for 3 years. I feel so good. But get your levels checked if you're feeling down a lot, all right? That really might be it. And dudes don't think it's them. Well, I work out. I'm in good shape. I shoot guns. I do all these things. Man, it's chemical now. There's freaking estrogen in our waters. It's poison. It's horrible for you. Male vitality stack, give it a shot, all right? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, or just call them, text them, 50CHALK3000. That's, tell them I told you to call. All right. All right. Now let's move on and talk some politics. And by the way, you are welcome to send me as many of these emails as you want. If you are someone hurting, you just want to reach out, send it to me. If you want a resource, this guy didn't specifically ask for one. If you want a resource, a veterans program or something, and you're hurting, ask. Chris will send you one back, all right? All right. All right. Now, a couple different headlines from today. Trump sidesteps his role in Afghanistan exit in trying to link Harris to the chaos. I'm going to read that for you again. This is from The Hill. Trump sidesteps his role in the Afghanistan exit in trying to link Harris to the chaos. You know, Trump, the civilian at the time, Harris, not only vice president, but publicly bragged that she was the last one in the room. Okay, so that's a bonkers, dishonest headline. And here's another one. This one's from Politico. J.D. Vance tries to tether Harris to the Biden-Harris administration. J.D. Vance tries to tether Harris to the Biden-Harris administration. How could they be so brazen? How could they lie like that? As we have discussed many times, and I want to do a bunch of other stuff tonight, so we're not going to dwell on this forever, but as we've discussed, they are fighting a revolution. They have a higher calling in their minds. A higher calling. The revolution is what matters the most. Because they have a higher calling, a revolution they're fighting, they can lie and their conscience will excuse it. They can hurt people and their conscience will excuse it. Jail people, their conscience will excuse it. Kill people en masse, like communists have always done, and their conscience will excuse it because they are on a religious mission, a mission to destroy all the world's structure. This author's name was Laura Kelly. Trump sidesteps his role in Afghanistan exit, trying to link Harris to the chaos. How can Laura Kelly lay her head down at night and sleep with such dishonesty? She's fighting a revolution.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
She's trying to get things done. Important things. The truth will have to wait till tomorrow. All right, more politics. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Of course, it's a hump day and a great day. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Vance tries to tether Harris to Biden during a Michigan rally. He tried to tether the vice president to the president during a Michigan rally. How could they be so brazen? How can you tell such gigantic lies with such ease? They're fighting a revolution. That's why. That's why they kill. That's why they lie. That's why they hurt people. That's why stuff like this.
Vice President has changed her position on fracking in Pennsylvania. Do you know why she's changed her position?
Listen, I mean, she's been very clear here. She's proud of the work that she's done as a part of this administration, making sure that American energy production is at an all-time high. We want to continue that progress into her first term in office here. And again, I think whether it's energy policy, economic policy writ large, that you have a fighter in Kamala Harris who is actually keeping the interests of the American people front and center. Coming together to bring people together in search of solutions that actually improve people's quality of life, improve our economy, improve energy production. I think that stands, again, in stark contrast to Donald Trump.
And let's hear from Dome.
I am committed to passing a Green New Deal, creating clean jobs, and finally putting an end to fracking once and for all.
There it is. They lie with such ease because to them, they have a higher calling. Let's do some emails. Jesse, it seems to me that folks like RFK, Gabbard, and others are speaking out against the evil we know exists. My question is, why now? Many things they're saying are true. They were true 100 years ago, too, though. They were true in 2016 and 2020. What do they have up their sleeves? Okay, so this is a very valid question. Well, at least the idea, the thought behind it. The distrust for new arrivals. That is a common theme throughout the history of the world, no matter what the cause is. You have a cause, someone's fighting on the other side of that cause, they eventually join you on your side, and you're giving them the side eye. Is this guy a spy? What's the angle here? What's he have up his sleeve? And I want to let you know that's a very, very smart thing to do. It's very, very smart to be suspicious of new arrivals. That said, when you're Trump right now and you're building a coalition, that's what he needs to do right now. And he's doing it very, very well. Remember when we were screaming and yelling about Trump blasting Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, on social media, unprompted, just out of nowhere, and how stupid that was? It was stupid, not because I'm a Brian Kemp fan, because it's time to coalition build. Well, Trump reversed all that. He and Kemp made public amends. They're getting along fine now. He's bringing in people like RFK, like Gabbard. And what he's doing is building a coalition. He's doing exactly what he needs to do to win a presidential campaign. And yes, I saw that they're on his transition team and things like that. No, I don't want RFK in charge of me. I don't want Tulsi Gabbard in charge of me. There's a lot of ugly history there, but that doesn't mean they're not welcome on the team. And it doesn't mean they don't have contributions, because to their credit, both of these people have a long history of speaking out against abuse by the U.S. government. By the government. CIA, FBI, FDA, CDC. The evil institutions within our government that are abusing us and lying to us. RFK and Tulsi Gabbard have a long history of speaking out against those. You should always keep them at arm's length. Well, I shouldn't say always. Keep them at arm's length for quite a while. Remember, you can welcome enemy troops who change sides into your camp. That doesn't mean they get welcomed into the planning tent looking at all the maps and the plans for the future. Yes, come on in. Here's a hot meal and a bed. No, you don't get to see our battle plans for tomorrow. But bringing them in, it's building a coalition. It's what Trump is doing, and actually he's doing it very, very well right now. He's building a coalition. It's what has to be done. It has to be done. And look, it's like, how would I put it? Like if you had a relative, let's say you had an aunt, and let's say she at one point in time developed a heroin problem, a horrible, horrible heroin addiction. And she just, her life turns into a disaster because of it, as it happens with drugs. Now, she ends up going to rehab. She gets herself clean. Is that aunt welcome at Christmas? Of course she is. Of course she is. Congratulations. We're all about redemption. Is that aunt allowed to babysit your children for the weekend while you leave town? Nah, probably not. No. No. Again, welcome in the home. RFK is welcome. Tulsi Gabbard is welcome. They don't need to be running anything. All right? So I'm totally with you. I'm suspicious of everyone at all times. Anyway, Republican, Democrat, I eye all these people with suspicion. All right, let's move on. First, let's talk about, well, I'm sure you saw another attack today, another offensive in Israel today. People have been living in a war zone for almost a year now. And this is a place we just were. Remember, was it last summer? Was it last summer we went to? Last summer, we went to all these places. We were there. And it's just, it's crazy to think that those same people we saw, the same sites, the same streets, the same buildings, they're war zones now. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're trying to help, and they are helping in huge ways. Emergency food and flak jackets and firefighting equipment, armored vehicles, bomb shelters, so much more. Saving lives. Saving lives. Donate. They're asking for $150 from 500 people. They're well north of 150 people already. Be one of the 500. Call 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. All right. Dome, she's finally doing an interview, but there's a wrinkle. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
For decades, the mafia had New York City in a stranglehold, with law enforcement seemingly powerless to intervene.
It uses terror to extort people.
But the murder of Carmine Galante marked the beginning of the end, sparking a chain of events that would ultimately dismantle the most powerful crime organization in American history.
It sent the message to them that we can prosecute these people.
Discover how a group of young prosecutors took on the mafia, and with the help of law enforcement, brought down its most powerful figures.
These bosses on the commission had no idea what was coming their way from the federal government.
From Wolf Entertainment and iHeart Podcasts, this is Law & Order Criminal Justice System. Listen to Law & Order Criminal Justice System on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1982, Atari players had one thing on their minds: Sword Quest. This wasn't just a new game. Atari promised 150 grand in prizes to four finalists. But the prizes disappeared. And what started as a video game promotion became one of the most controversial moments in 80s pop culture.
I just don't believe they exist.
That would be my reaction, shock and awe.
That sword was amazing. It was so beautiful.
I'm Jamie Loftus. Join me this spring for The Legend of Sword Quest, a podcast about the fall of Atari and the disappearing Sword Quest prizes. We'll follow the quest for lost treasure across four decades.
It's almost like a metaphor for the industry and Atari itself in a way.
Listen to The Legend of Sword Quest on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever?
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like Matt Bomer.
Thank you for that introduction. I'm going to slip you a couple of 20s under the table for that.
Emma Roberts.
When it came into my email inbox, I was like, okay, I know I'm going to love this so much that I don't even want to read it. Because if I can't be in it, I'm going to be bummed.
And Colin Jost.
You know, your wife was the first guest on Table for Two.
It's come full circle. As long as I do better than her, I'm happy.
Table for Two is a bit different from other interview shows. We sit down at a great restaurant for a meal, maybe a glass of rosé, and the stories start flowing. Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate, surprising, and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. And do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Get those questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. It'll be a fun day. This guy says, hey, Jesse, I see Walz is going to Kamala's CNN interview. So this has been a big headline for about the last 24 hours. The Kamala Harris campaign obviously has not done any sit-down interviews. This is something that's been talked about endlessly. We've talked about it here. They're running a shadow campaign, a fake campaign. They're doing this for a few different reasons. One, they did it before with Joe Biden. They ran a campaign from the basement, cue cards, everything scripted. And they watched it win. They watched it work for them. And they're going to see if they can recycle that again. They're also doing it in large part because Dome can't talk. She can't talk at all. She doesn't know how to answer questions. She doesn't know anything. And she has no personality. This is Dome.
On a different front, Axios this week reported that President Trump, if he gets a second term, will sort of dial back, for lack of a better term, DEI programs that the Biden administration has put in forth. I know you disagree with that. I obviously believe that you don't want him to get a second term. That said, if that does happen, what do you think that would do to race relations in this country?
Well, let me say we're going to win, so it's not going to happen. But I think that, listen, we... Today is actually, I believe, an anniversary in terms of Dr. King, right? And I was just in Selma, and we celebrated, acknowledged the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. I think it's really important that we as Americans always embrace our history, the parts that we're proud of and the parts that we're not proud of but that we can't forget. And we should all agree that we should teach history, we should learn history, if we're to ever have an accurate idea of where we want.
Yeah, she can't answer questions. And so That's a huge liability, obviously, in politics, especially when you're running for president. Running for president is oftentimes a popularity contest. She can't answer questions. She doesn't have a personality. She doesn't know anything about anything. That's why it's a big word salad thing. That's why the awkward laughing. But the problem is you can't hide them forever. For instance, she's going to have to debate Donald Trump. She's going to have to debate him with no help. And they're petrified of this already. So she finally agrees to an interview. And she agreed to a joint interview with Tim Walz. It's the fakest campaign I've ever seen in my entire life. Everything is made up. Everything is an outright lie. When they're honest about their policies, it's just flat out communism. Taxing, unrealized gains, price controls, crazy stuff.
Unrealized gains, taxing unrealized gains just doesn't seem fair in any sense of the word. In the very best sense, if you are taxing unrealized gains, all you're doing is pulling forward the taxes that would be paid later when someone actually sells the stock.
I think that this reaction to unrealized gains is a little funny, given that I bet that the majority of people watching right now.
Yeah, so that, or they have Trump's positions, no taxes on tips, or they're hiding her. I know this stresses people out. And when I let it, if I'm being honest, it stresses me out as well. The thought of these horrible people having another 4 years in power. But I do just want to say this again, and it maybe it doesn't comfort you, but it does comfort me, at least in a small way. Stress tests are valuable. They're valuable. It matters a lot. Sometimes when I'm teaching my son how to drive right now, he's got his learner's permit and we're out there on the road with him. And so I'll take him out and teach him certain things, how to park and stuff like that. I will sometimes yell at him while we're parking. He'll know it's coming. I'm not actually mad at him. I'll make a bunch of noise trying to create a stressful environment when he's trying to park, because it can be stressful parking or pulling out. Can he perform under that? It matters, right? Stress tests matter. They're important. This country had a huge stress test during COVID, and we failed horribly. We failed in every way you could possibly fail. We embarrassed ourselves as a free people. This is another stress test. If you can run a campaign like this, running either on policies you don't actually have, she's talking about building the border wall. So either she's stealing Trump's policies or open communism, she's hiding herself, she won't do an interview, her scumbag VP pick is a dirty coward who ran out on his men when they were about to deploy, and he's a stolen valor loser claiming the title of Command Sergeant Major. There's every reason in the world for these people to not win the election. In fact, you really can't come up with a solid reason why these people should even be in contention. But if November comes, that first Tuesday in November, and if we wake up Wednesday morning and these people have won the election, I'm not going to tell you the country's over. That's not what I'm saying. But that is going to be very, very revealing about where we are as a nation and who we are as a people. And you can't do what you can't do is what you might be doing right now. If you, let's say you despise Donald Trump, that's fine. I don't care. But you can't say, well, if it was anyone else but Trump, realize this, whether you like Trump or not, or hate Trump, I don't care. They created the image of this antichrist character, Donald Trump, this Hitler-like Nazi that was created through relentless propaganda from Democrats, Hollywood, the media, that was created. So if they can do that to him, they'll do it to whoever the next system disruptor is. So if that's the excuse, then that's no excuse at all, because whoever the next guy is when he comes up, they'll make him out to be just as bad as Trump. Your liberal Aunt Peggy will hate the next guy just as much as she hates Trump. It's not Trump specific. So if we wake up on Wednesday, the first Wednesday in November, and we lost, and it hurts, and I'll be hurting, and you'll be hurting, and we'll be mad. Yes, it's bad and it's horrible and it means horrible things for the next 4 years and it's really going to hurt us as a country. And all those things are true, but there is benefit in knowing where you are and who you are. There's benefits to it. It's a good thing to know where you are. If you can run a campaign based on nothing, if you can run a campaign where you lie brazenly about everything, you don't do interviews, your VP's a scumbag, you have no personality at all, if Kamala Harris can win the presidency, then that tells you a lot about where we are as a country. It will mean we are shattered, absolutely shattered, demoralized, spiritually, mentally shattered as a country. That's what it will mean. And if that's where we are, okay. Means we got a lot of work to do, right? That's all that means. Jesse, here in purple, but mostly blue Virginia, I've started to see a lot of yard signs that say Jesus Christ for everything in your face, Chris. Usually we, as we enter election season, I see tons of signs for Dem candidates, but I'm not seeing many of them this year. It feels like some kind of psyop is happening, maybe with the complicity of some liberal-leaning churches in the area. What are your thoughts? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with Jesus signs. I think that's a very good thing for the country. That's one. Two, there is, again, I'm getting very hopeful about this election because what's happening is there's been a little bit of a cultural shift. And by cultural shift, I mean this. For a while, because of propaganda efforts, they kind of made it a shameful thing to be a Republican or vote for Trump or something like that. And you were never ashamed of it. I'm not saying that. But they made it something where people would whisper it. Oh, hey, I'm a Trump supporter. We have to be quiet about it. Democrats have so poisoned the well on Democrat politics. I'm picking up that maybe that shift has gone to the other side, where you're ashamed to admit you're voting for Kamala Harris, where you don't admit it. I'm seeing at least the libs in my own personal life. They're so much more quiet now than they used to be. In fact, I had a conversation last night with one of my buddies, and I'll tell you about that conversation in a moment. Before I get to that, let me tell you about Tunnel to Towers. Tunnel to Towers is the organization caring for widows and orphans, Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, homeless veterans. It's just unreal to me how many veterans we have living out on the streets. We've been talking about this a lot, especially in the last 24 hours, vets and vets who are struggling. And it's just these organizations that come together for their families and for the veterans themselves. They mean so much to me. And Tunnel to Towers means so much because they don't waste the money. There are a lot of veterans organizations out there that waste your money. They're just made to line people's pockets. Not Tunnel to Towers. When you give to Tunnel to Towers, it gets to the vets. Go to T2T.org. $11 a month is what they ask for. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, an amazing Wednesday. All right, I want to tell you about this conversation I had with my friend last night, just along the lines of what we were just talking about how the shame in our society has kind of shifted, or it feels like it's shifting from people who used to hide the fact that they were voting Republican or voting Trump to now people are... they're more ashamed to admit they're voting Democrat. And a big part of that is what you and I have talked about many times about how we have to create social shame. They're very good at doing social shame. We don't do that. Well, everybody's the same. Live and let live. That stuff doesn't work. You have to create a culture. And so here's an example of it. Last night, after the show, I had one of my buddies. I wanted to go hang out with him for a bit. Like I said, it had been a rough evening, whatever. And I went to hang out with my buddy for a bit, and he was talking about his family. You know, he's a Mexican, and his whole family's Mexicans. And they've traditionally voted Democrat. And he had a big family get-together. I know that's surprising. He had a big family get-together this last weekend, and they all gathered around the table, and they started talking politics. And people started to say, I'm voting for Trump. I'm voting Trump. It was around the table. I'm Trump. Oh, we're voting Trump. We've had enough. They were really mad about the tranny stuff. I had enough of the tranny stuff. They're mad about the border stuff. We're voting Trump. We're voting Trump. They got to one of the older ladies, lifelong Democrat. And she says, I'm going to vote for, who's that woman? I think I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. And she kind of whispered it. was afraid to say it. This is in a family of Democrats. And then got torn to shreds by the rest of the family. Now, he said they were nice about it, but they piled on her bad to the point she said, you know what? I think I will vote for Trump in the end. Now, that's one story, right? That's it's anecdotal. It's one story. But I hear more and more stories like this. And you should understand, I know it makes especially nice people uncomfortable. It doesn't bother me because I'm a jerk. But maybe you're nice and it'll make you uncomfortable. Creating a stigma about voting Democrat, about supporting these people, it's important and it's up to all of us. Remember we had this conversation before about the FBI? The FBI agent in your life, if you know one, you should shun that person. If you work for the FBI, you should be afraid to tell friends and family what you do because of the scorn they will pour on you. If you are part of a secret state police agency like the FBI has become, an evil secret police agency, you should feel shame for being part of that. But creating that shame is up to you. It's up to me. They should know. Because right now we still live in this society where an organization like the FBI was so revered for so long. It's the kind of thing you brag about when you come home. It's the kind of thing parents still brag about. My son is an FBI agent now. My daughter made it in the FBI. You'll know we're doing better when we get to a point as a country where parents are afraid and ashamed to say that. That's social stigma. That's culture. That's incentivizing and disincentivizing certain things. I know that gets uncomfortable. It does. But I'm seeing it everywhere in my social circles. Whenever there's a token Democrat now, they are quiet. And when they try to bring it up, when they try to get loud about it, they are blasted down, oftentimes viciously, depending on the company. And they don't bring it up again. I told you the story a couple weeks ago, about the guy he brought up. I don't know how anyone can vote for Trump. We were in a big friend group. I don't know how anyone can vote for Trump. And this is the guy I said, okay, so you're going to vote for price controls? Hmm. Well, she's not even going to be able to implement those things. But it was so bad for this guy that night. He has been in my presence two other times since then. He has refused to discuss politics. Someone even challenged him on politics, and he said, I don't want to talk about that. You know, he's still going to vote for Dome, but he's ashamed. Now he's afraid. Now there's a social stigma, and there should be. Look, we can talk about this. In fact, I'll talk about it in just a little bit more depth in a minute, but there's a story out there about Aurora, Colorado. That Venezuelan prison gang, which you heard about on the show, we told you about this months ago, Venezuela emptied their prisons onto American soil, and the gang is called Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua is the name of the gang. Chris, that's Mexican for the hot water. Anyway, the Tren de Aragua is the name of the gang. Well, Democrats brought that gang into this country on purpose. There should be social stigma for voting Democrat. Joe Biden got elected, and the first thing they did was open up the border, and they brought rapists and murderers and drug dealers into the country on purpose. It wasn't accidental. They did that on purpose. You should be ashamed to vote for Kamala Harris, to vote Democrat at all. You should be ashamed, and you should shame the Democrat in your life about it. Ah, Jesse, that's mean. That's culture. That's how you create culture. By telling people what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Find out what you incentivize, what you disincentivize. Whatever you incentivize, you will get more of it. Whatever you disincentivize, you'll get less of it. That's the way culture works. We, all of us, you, me, all of us, we all have to take part in the social shame system. The three S's, that's a stupid word that I came up with, but I like it no matter what. The social shame system is flipping, and it must continue to be flipped. And the thing is, it's up to you to flip it. It has to be up to you. It has to be up to all of us, every single individual. It's not up to me or a senator or Trump or whatever it is. Every single one of us, through the little interactions we have in our daily lives, we are the ones who determine what the social shame system in a society should be. And it feels like it's flipping. If you voted to allow gangs full of rapists and murderers into the country, you should be ashamed. You should feel shame. And it's our job to make sure they do feel ashamed. Now, you shouldn't feel ashamed if you're in pain, though. If you have pain in your life, knee, back, neck, muscle, joint, whatever it is, don't lie. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. And don't mask it. Deal with it. Get that pain out of your life. It's affecting you, isn't it? It affects the things you do, things you can't do now. Relief Factor is about getting that pain out of your life naturally. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. You take it every day, and what you're doing is you're giving your body the fuel it needs to fight that inflammation. That pain you suffer from, it might be gone in 3 weeks. Gone. In the very least, it'll be lessened by a great deal. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. Now, we'll dig into this, what's happening in Aurora, Colorado, and a prison gang and things like that in just a moment. Hang on. In an era of escalating social unrest and rising crime rates, safeguarding our families has never been more critical. Introducing the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. Byrna offers a safer, sensible alternative that can save lives on both ends, protecting the user and delivering formidable stopping power to deter aggressors. Legal in all 50 states with no background checks or permits required. And it's shipped directly to your door. Visit Byrna.com/Jesse to get 10% off your purchase.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Wir sparen wirklich viel Zeit durch schnelleres Fulfillment und den Wegfall lästiger Sicherheitsupdates. Wir können unsere Bestellungen mit viel weniger Klicks bearbeiten und dadurch die Boards auch viel schneller packen.
Und es macht einen großen Unterschied, gerade an Tagen mit vielen Bestellungen. Früherer Feierabend bedeutet auch, dass wir mehr Zeit haben, mit unseren Kindern was zu unternehmen.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
For decades, the Mafia had New York City in a stranglehold, with law enforcement seemingly powerless to intervene.
It uses terror to extort people.
But the murder of Carmine Galante marked the beginning of the end.
It sent the message that we can prosecute these people.
Listen to Law & Order Criminal Justice System on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.